playing games is done. Adversaries all better run. We're coming up to reach the top. Unbeatable and we'll never stop. We're the ones in charge. Yeah. We're staying living large. Yeah. We're the one who fly. Yeah. They don't ever have a chance. Why do they even try? Everybody, yeah, yeah, yeah. Rock your body, yeah, yeah, yeah. Time to party, yeah, yeah, yeah. Cause the backseat boys are back.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Spokecast. Johnny Cashmere here. We're going to be getting some peeps in here as usual. Who's up first? Let's get the other backseat boy in here. What's up, Thomas?
What up? Tommy Grayson in the house. Whoop whoop. Shouts out to Superfan Tara for the new ICP hoodie. I love it.
Looking good, brother. Let's get the man in here. Donnie B, what's up, bro?
Donnie B in the house. Whoop whoop. I don't have a whoop, I have my Miami Vice shirt on though. That's pretty cool.
There we go. That's fire.
That's fire, as the kids say.
Nice, dude. I love it. How
we
was
some
exactly
fire emojis at the bottom?
It was great. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about
Word.
It a little bit.
Great. When the show starts. Before we get started, we have a special guest, everybody. Last week, we all remembered to give him best well wishes. He's with us right now. He's up. He's alert. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Logan. What's up, Guy?
Thanks, guys. Good to see everybody on the screen. I saw some of you guys over the weekend. I want to thank all of you for your well wishes. Because I can tell you, there's probably not a worse place to be, except maybe jail, than in a hospital bed for a week. And it was a really, really rough week. So anybody, if you're not feeling well, get seen. Don't blow it off. Don't blow it off. A lot of times we think it's nothing and ends up being far more critical than we think it's going to be.
Well, I'm glad to see you upright, Guy.
Yeah. Guy, you look good. You showed up at the event Saturday.
I wouldn't go that far.
I wouldn't either.
Donnie, he looked the best he's ever looked on Saturday.
Now, listen,
he showed
to
up
me,
at the event.
Yeah, listen, guys.
I just sent him a check.
Tommy, Guy, let me just put you over for a second. Yes. Tommy Grayson knows me, you know, for a while now. Johnny really knows me. So what I'm about to say is the truth. I really don't give a shit, and this is me. I really care too much about too many people from the world of wrestling. I actually care about Brian Logan. So hey. I actually like Guy. I always did. Just because we didn't hang out. Quiet, I'm putting you over. Just because we didn't hang out or talk like for a long time, it doesn't mean I didn't care. I actually truly liked Brian. I do. I'm glad that he's upright. I'm glad he's out of the hospital. He's one of the few people from my time in the business that I'll actually stop and have a conversation with. And that's not a put down. It's just reality. I like Guy. He's on the 10 fingers that I have of people who I actually liked from the business. He's one of them. So there you go. You should be honored.
Kind words. I am honored. And thank you for the kind words anyway. I'll sell out.
Speaking of honored.
You owe me 50.
Brian, speaking of being honored, we have a little gift for you. You're now a permanent fixture of the Bad Area graphic. I will ask you to look at the personalized license plate. Donnie, how do you say that? How's the vocal inflection go for that license plate?
How is Guy? The words of Mr. Tanaka. How is Guy? We should have recorded that soundbite. I would have used that every day of my life. It would have been like answer
that
machine.
That is a
like
Pat Tanaka. Pat Tanaka of the Orient Express loved Guy.
Oh, that's Pat Tanaka, as opposed to the other one. Thank you.
Well, people might think Toro Tanaka, who answered the door in the Pee Wee Herman movie.
Yeah, or maybe from the Midnight Express. I forgot it was the Orient Express.
Ooh, that's kind of – you allowed to say that anymore? It's an Asian Express.
Orient? Yeah, I mean, that was the name of a team.
Right.
Name of a movie, too. The Orient Express, Lee Marvin.
Whoop, whoop. Backseat 2, whoop, whoop.
JP in the house.
Whoop, whoop. That's how you do it. What up?
Is it whoop with a T?
Whoop. It's with a P.
All right, cool. That's what I thought. Like that, I'm down. So I'm down with the clown.
Like I'm a whoop your ass. Like it's spelled kind of like that.
Yeah.
It's spelled. It means hello, like that. Goodbye, and a third definition, which you could Google because I'm not repeating it here.
Ooh. Right. So, Guy, we were happy to have you at the event Saturday at Gremlin House. It was our first time there. It was the same building we ran Unf and Necessary in, and you looked great. The event was a lot of fun. We're going to recap the event, and we're going to have Yaya the Gremlin on here in a little bit. So here's the show for tonight. We're also going to talk about some cool stuff. Check this out. All right. Sick of getting flagged for using other music, so I'm going to move that from the screen. All right. You guys hear me? I feel like I'm not.
No, I can hear you
there
fine.
There we go.
You're good. Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Great. Awesome. Sorry, I had a little bit of a lag there for a second. You guys, if we mess up, Tommy, you take over. I don't know if my internet's going bad or something, possibly.
You chilling. Are you? I mean, are you in a bad area? You could be.
I could be in a bad service area. Yeah, I could be. But anyway, guys, real quick, we got to talk about the weekend. I want to talk about Donnie, whatever you want to talk about as far as your weekend.
Yeah.
And Brian, is there anything you want to talk about before you jet?
I actually noted that show. Thank you for inviting me. I'm glad I attended. I probably just shouldn't have been out, but I'm glad I went. It's probably the happiest day I had all week long. As I was mentioning you guys earlier, Donnie, you may know more about this than me. Do the guys start shows earlier in the day now than they did back in our day? Tell me when that show started. I would have missed it. Like 6:30, 6 o'clock times and stuff like that on a Saturday. That to me, that seemed really early.
I kind of like it. I mean, if you do like a 6:30 doors, it depends. Is it like a 6 p.m. doors open, 6:30 bell, or 6:30 door meet and greet for half hour and then the show? Like, there's all kinds of different stuff you can do.
Right.
Bell to bell? I think the show should. If I was running on a regular basis, start to finish, bell to bell would be 2 hours. With a 20-minute intermission.
I like that.
That's what I would do. You can't expect stuff to be longer than the average motion picture nowadays. So, I mean, that's to me.
You really can't.
No. Yeah. These 3 or 4 hour marathon indie shows with 15 matches, they don't draw. They never have. They never will. And these idiots keep doing it. I don't understand it. But God bless them. Let them do it.
They all have their own mindset of what the business is.
Because they don't know how to tell people no. That's why.
You were great at telling people.
I was great at telling people because I didn't care about the heat. I was Dennis's heat man, and then became my own heat man. Yeah,
Dennis was like, no problem. And Donnie was no.
I love heat men and women. Yeah, heat women and heat men.
It was 5 p.m. doors and 6 p.m. bell.
There you go. That's fine. Yeah. And I saw the poster. What was New Jack City Slam? What was that about? That was the name of it.
Yeah. It was the Rumble that main evented it was called the New Jack City Rumble.
Who thought of that? Where did they get that name?
I don't know. We'll ask him tonight when he comes on.
Yeah, I got to ask him because New Jack City Wrestling was the promotion we ran in the late 90s.
With the gong, right? The gong.
Yeah, Mr. Lucifer and Mike Illions. New Jack City Wrestling, man. I was the booker. It was awesome.
One of two times, if I'm correct, for some useless trivia. Two matches only of Reckless Youth versus Supernova.
That's right. Yeah, they were great matches too, man. That was a hell of a show. That was great matches we had because we ran on Sunday afternoons mainly at the Freehold Armory and the Berkeley Carteret in Asbury. And the philosophy was we could get ECW guys from the night before if they were in town to come to our shows. It was cool. I liked it.
It is a great deal. Back when John, Jake, and Paul and Karina ran the weekends, they get all the guys. They have an extra day. Karina ran Sundays, so he'd get the guys from the night before, Ring of Honor and Combat guys from Saturday night, and Jake and Paul's guys from Friday night, so you get a 3-day run. That's what happens when everybody wants to work together.
Yes. For those that don't know, Jake and Paul are the bad crew from ECW. Guys, real quick, I want to send – all right, Brian, hold on a minute. I want to show you guys something. We got this in from Chris Sanders. Donnie, you're going to love this. I did an interview last week with Chris Sanders, Coach C. I'm a Coach C guy. And he made this video package. The actual thing comes out soon. He actually made these little graphics too. So first he made this best. Oh, let me get that off. Sorry. There we go. Best for Business, the name of his show. So he made that and he made this. So I'll be on it. It drops this Wednesday 1/22, the 22nd at 5 PM. And check out this little preview he made, Donnie, you're going to especially like this.
So, dude, I never have wrestled as hard as I could wrestle ever. So I don't even know what I'm actually capable of. I think it was like the very next day I texted the Graysons. I said, out of everyone I met yesterday, I said, you guys are the ones in my mind today. And they just seem to check all the boxes. It's a tribute band, but it has original music.
The Backseat Boys were originally supposed to be four members.
It was like a figment of Donnie's imagination. Hey, you two would be great. The man who ended up going by the Wife Beater. And then the other one was a guy named Flex Wheeler. Donnie was thinking of the four of us. But we were already in CZW. We were already kind of the top tag team everywhere. Gave us like their belts when we were CZW talent. I remember me and Trent looking at each other like, what if as soon as you hit the top, we're already going right down forward. He beat Trent for the first ever PW heavyweight title. And he beat me for the first ever SPO heavyweight title. We had no choice. And he was just like, yeah, I'll do the best I can, man. And he went out there and killed it. Never say never.
That was very cool.
That was very good.
He did his homework.
He sure does, man. He does a great job.
Some footage in that.
He's great. He's so talented, that dude.
He is.
I like the never say never part.
He's going to come on here to talk about it once the interview drops. He's going to come on and be a guest, he said. So
nice.
We first met Chris when he was about 13, 14 years old or something like that, going to XWA out in Rhode Island for their Thursday night throwdown shows. Those were really awesome to do years ago. I mean, back in New England.
So we're talking So we're talking 2017, 2018, maybe 2019, just to put everything into context. So, you know, we're, you know, still as green to the business as, you know, grass, but in the same time, you know, we obviously created enough of an impression early on that, you know, he puts just as much into wrestling as he did his fandom back then. So, you know, it's always cool to trace, you know, the trickle down effect of wrestling, you know, and how it, you know, people follow you from, you know, all these years and eventually, you know, they get in, you know, in different ways. And he puts his time in, you know, that production, you know, the production of that video is better than, you know, 99% of the stuff I see out there. So, you know, I'm a Coach C guy and I'm happy to have played a part in his story as he has ours.
Oh, yeah, man. And while we're at it, we might as well remind people to follow the Backseat Boys on social media on your screen right there on Instagram. It's at the.backseatboys. On X, it's backseat_boys. Facebook, the Backseat Boys. And check this. If you want to watch Trip TV, that's on the Backseat Boys YouTube, which is Backseat Boys 845. So check all that out, everybody. And Donnie, did you see in Florida? You got to watch for falling iguanas coming up.
Oh, God.
I saw that. They're freezing or something, or it's cold down there.
They're evasive down there, and it gets cold, and they just fall out of the sky and just land on people and hurt people's necks and stuff. So you got to be careful.
Well, I mean, the thing probably weighs like 10 or 15 pounds, right? Like, I don't know. Maybe that's a lot. I don't know. Is that
Probs.
Big? Yeah.
If they hit you on the head, that's real big, man. They say swooping owls can break your neck.
Feed it to that cricket or whatever you have in your fish tank. What the hell is it? What is it again?
We'll have to talk about the mantis shrimp. Yeah, he wasn't doing so good. I got an announcement to make. He didn't look so good. I think he was dying. So I took him to the local aquarium place. They found him a home. They nursed him back to life. I didn't want him to die on my watch. So
hold on a minute. You put money out for this gimmick and you had it brought to your house and you did this big spiel, this mea culpa, this 47 years ago, these birds, how it's going to be. And you're going to change the internet by doing this. And wait a minute. The thing did the job and you gave it away?
It was going to do the job if I didn't give it away. And I didn't want the PETA people knocking on my door.
It probably was too cold. They can't be shipped any. Like, the temperature really sensitive on this thing.
There's a lot. We got a lot of questions here.
Temperature was perfect.
Yeah.
Brian's going to investigate.
All right, Brian, aren't you... All right, Brian's got to go now, everyone.
Make room for the mantis, not the worker from Pittsburgh. What?
The mantis.
There's a modern mantis, actually.
There is?
Yes, I'm a fan of the mantis. He's from New York.
I didn't know that.
There's manti now.
Johnny, what happened to this thing? You put it in the fish tank and it died, or it was going to? How do you know it was going to die?
It was on his back. Things aren't supposed to be on their back.
All right.
So like maybe that. It was tired sleeping.
Or something. Yeah.
I don't know, whatever. So I took it and the place tested it and brought it back to, I don't know what's wrong with the tank. I have no idea. Saltwater tanks are not easy, guys. I got news for you.
Getting it back or it's gone?
They actually already found a home for it. These things go so fast.
So they just gave it to another family or something, or?
So
Yeah, either that or they had to keep it there forever.
Oh, all right.
So they were probably happy.
I'm sorry your journey into mollusks ended so poorly.
Donnie, do you have any aquarium space at your house I can borrow?
I did have a fish tank.
Borrow it, like return it later?
I'll never have a fish tank again in my life. We had one for like 2 years. I was the only idiot that cleaned it all the time. It was the shits. It was terrible. My kids didn't care. And the worst part is we went on vacation. We had a goldfish in there. And like an idiot, I went out and bought this auto feeder thing for $50 when I could have just bought another goldfish for like $3. I don't know what I was thinking.
And then did Johnny already destroy his new fish tank?
Oh, no, Phil. Yeah, welcome to the conversation. Johnny's fish lasted 24 hours.
Barely.
I was kidding. I'm so sorry.
No, it didn't do the job. He had to give it away because it was selling. It was selling in the fish tank. It took a bump and was selling and feigning, like working the gimmick. And Johnny had to give it away to an aquarium. They gave it to another foster family or something.
Okay. Okay.
I took a lot of liberties with that story. That's pretty much it.
Donnie, that was over.
Has a nice home in the country now.
Yeah.
Gosh, I try to do something nice and get this frigging thing and get some views on Facebook and social media out of it. And I didn't want it to die.
That's remember, Phil, happened. How we built it up for like a half hour straight? It was the second coming. It was like modern day Beast Wars. It was going to be the greatest thing of all time.
Right.
He came down from the mountain with the two tablets and this gimmick monster, whatever it was, that could kill things with one shot.
Got to entertain.
Did he entertain?
Oh, we were entertained.
Johnny, remember the cat you got? I got this cat. It's great. And guess who housed the cat for 8 months?
Dude, I don't want to say anything
about
but
that stuff.
I feel as if you had this mollusk or whatever, if this thing was like fully operational, we would have definitely got a shot on being on the Busted Open Network at some point. Now you just blew that, Johnny.
I'm still, they're still trying to get me another one. I haven't given up yet.
No, you don't give one back to you. You've already failed.
No, I'm not getting the same one back.
Like, no shit, that guy doesn't want to go back to your house. He's like, no. He's moving his little claw around going, no.
like really hard.
All right. Well, we got to get into our discussions now. So, Guy, this is when you go. Yeah, unless you want to stay and talk about it, but you said you don't.
Don't overstay your welcome, Guy.
Yeah. Get out. Because you cut us off anyway.
Leave him wanting more.
No, you're welcome.
Oh, y'all are messed up.
Guy has left the building.
Talking about that, he had to watch my cat for 4 months on here. That gets you kicked off the Spokane.
Yeah, that's kayfabe, brother. Kayfabe Caruso, brother.
And it was longer than 4 months.
Oh. Yeah.
So, all right, you guys. So,
all right.
Well first things first, let's welcome the president properly. President Phil.
Howdy, gentlemen.
Yes.
Hello, Philip.
You already know. So now we got two different topics that we're going to be discussing.
Yes.
A lot of people are interested in hearing us talk about AI and what we could do with it. In addition to the wrestling trends that have been going on for many different generations. I mean, it goes back to people wearing the good old fanny pack to now the kids wearing the Pit Vipers or still the Zubaz or when you go to Japan rocking the legendary Ribera Steakhouse jacket.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
or something as simple as having the word gimmick reach every part of your vernacular when you don't even know how to properly use it. You're using it just for the sake of it. And it could be with anything, you know, someone like Donnie B who actually had to learn Kiz Arnie back in the Dizay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's different, but you know, there's a lot of you young bucks who are, you know, from below my brother and my's generation that hasn't traced the origin back to these, you know, legends, so to say. So we're here to edumacate y'all on that.
Yeah. Gimmick.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a moment in time. Yeah. JP, I would say it's probably like 96 or 97 at the Downingtown Farmers Market where Lupus, Kent Porter, had locked his keys in his car. And we were trying to figure out how to get in the car. And there was like eight of us huddled around the car. And this was the sentence. Kent, somebody, I think it was Rocco Dorsey, was standing there with a screwdriver and a hammer. And Rick Ratchet said this phrase, and all of us knew what he meant. He said, and I quote, "Put the gimmick in the gimmick and hit it with the gimmick to open the gimmick." And every single one of us standing there, as God is my witness, that was said. And every one of us was like, oh, yeah, he just means put the hammer in the screwdriver, hit it in the trunk thing, the keyhole, and it opened. That was the phrase. put the gimmick in the gimmick and hit it with the gimmick to open the gimmick.
Yes.
That was a real sentence that was said in 19, circa 98, maybe. But yeah, Nova, Dorsey, yeah. Lupus, we were all there. We heard it. And we all
I'm like right there with it. I'm understanding. I was like, yeah, you do the thing with
yeah,
the
Phil,
thing.
You knew. Yeah. If you're of a certain genre of the business or a certain time frame, you would know exactly what that meant. I've used the word Iggy a few times and people didn't know what it meant. They never heard the phrase give the Iggy, or then he hit him with the Iggy, or gave him the Iggy. Like, that blows my mind, but whatever.
The Iggy, the Iggy, the business, you know. The,
yeah, give
the,
him the business, whatever. Brother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
I tried that with my wife once. I gave her the business. It didn't go over too well.
So, JP, what? Oh, no. What exactly?
I just want to go around and get everyone's thoughts, opinions, or again, like if we were to talk about just anything, right? Like, let me ask you, like, Donnie, like, were you a Zubaz guy, and were you rocking the Reeboks and the Zubaz with the fanny pack?
Let me tell you, okay? I went to Ocean County College for 2 years. I got my degree there, and then I got my four-year degree, my bachelor's, at Stockton College. My first day of Stockton College is probably, I went in the spring, I want to say the spring of 93. My outfit? The red, white, and blue American Zubaz that Lex Luger wore on the Lex Express. Yes. A Anytime Fitness muscle shirt with the big collar with the giant sleeves, only half up because I had a little bit of abs. And the Automix training shoes. That was outfit on the first day of Stockton College.
Wait a second. Was it a straight halter top, or was it like kind of
it
diagonal?
It was like three quarters down. It was the diagonal shirt, like the Flash Dance kind of look, like a big oversized muscle shirt.
That's you gotta what I wore.
Please don't tell me there were knotted tassels at the bottom.
No, that's what I wore my first day of college. And then I had probably a month into it, we had a dinner for one of the fraternity. I was in the it was called Alpha Lambda Epsilon, whatever it was, criminal justice facility. I went to the dinner in red or purple and green Zubaz tank top and my gold chain. That's what I went to with the dinner to that. And I'll tell you what, I was over like Grover, brother.
Oh, yeah.
Stories that I can't tell on this show, but let me tell you, I was over. Birth of my first day of college. And when I went to the dinner, and every day I went 2 days a week because I had a split schedule. I didn't care about it. I just wanted my degree to get out. But I was way over at college, bro. Way over. If the halls of Stockton could talk, I'll just say that. I've been married for 19 years, so I just want to put that out there. I'm happily married. But if the halls,
Johnny, how about you? Did you ever own a pair of Zubaz or? No.
Never. I always refused. I was always too into fashion and hated Zubaz. But I'll tell you what, when I got in the business, I was trained by the Pitbulls, and they both wore fanny packs, though, all the time, and with Zubaz. So it was, you know, modeled in front of me. And me and Trent both said, like, we will never wear fanny packs. Until you got me a fanny pack, I had never worn a fanny pack in my life until, like, 4 months ago. I think The Gathering was the first time I ever wore a fanny pack.
Well, because I learned like early on, and like that, while it might not be like hip, it's a necessity because you know it's essential. You have all the, you know, it's a gimmick for all your gimmicks, brother. You know, you get all this extra storage. You know, and anytime you need to go, like, say you're at a fair show or a Six Flags, for example, and you want to hop on a roller coaster and you don't want to have to, you know, leave your stuff. You just strap
or the airport.
Or the airport.
Right. Going on a plane. That's an extra carry-on that doesn't even count.
But
as far as the Zubaz, brother, I have to admit that I'm wearing my camouflage ones right now, brother.
Is that a certain team?
No, just the green camo. I have a few different pairs. You know, definitely went through a phase where I was ordering them a lot, but yeah, they're comfortable. I like wearing them.
They are comfortable. Now, Donnie, I don't know if it's true. Phil, you might notice. There was a rumor back in the day, like around the same time that like the Ultimate Warrior died and was a new guy, that the Zubaz was all the Legion of Dooms.
The Road Warrior started it.
They really did, though?
Yeah, 100%. Hawk and Animal. They got that fashion was around for a while. It started out in Muscle Beach. And the concept was guys with these giant pants because they were bodybuilders or their legs. That's where it started from, the bodybuilding community. And then the Road Warriors were the initial. I don't know where the name comes from, but they were the ones who started it. Hawk and Animal, 100%. I don't know if they sold it to somebody after that, but they were the ones who started it.
I'm looking it up to like see what I can find.
Well, now
regardless of what it says, I know that for a fact. I had conversations with Animal about it. He said, yes, we started the Zubaz brand.
We talked to Animal this weekend, didn't we, guys?
How? He's dead.
No, different animal.
A different animal.
But yeah, they make I think they have sports that, like, for all the teams, like football teams and whatnot. They have like all the colors and the stitches and all that. So I think they have, like, again, if you're, you know, national sports team, I think you can actually get like your own brand for Zubaz and whatnot.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think you can.
Giants, everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, every team has it. It's pretty cool, actually.
We liked them. It was just comfortable. You know, the fanny pack, I wore it once or twice, believe it or not, as an 80s guy. I didn't like wearing stuff. I wore the fanny pack very rarely. Very rare. Even as a promoter, I really didn't wear it that much.
It's perfect when you're traveling. I got to agree with you.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Did Verdi have – did Trent wear it a lot?
No, we both made fun of him. We promised we never would do it.
I did once or twice. But then again, like – the only time I'd want to wear it, if I didn't trust the locker room, like put my shit in there, my stuff in there. Like, and I always did. I never really brought valuable stuff into the locker room.
If it's the kind of locker room where the undercard battle royal guys eat the catering,
I had no money in that locker. I had if you remember correctly, at Clash of Champions or Contest of Champions, I had my own locker, my own dressing room.
The Sting
myself
dressing
and
room.
Steve. Bro. Oh, you know him as Sting. The man.
But Johnny, don't you think a fanny pack is sort of like your own utility belt? Oh, look, I think Johnny hear froze.
I can hear
it. That's the greatest picture ever of him on there.
Right, that was a perfect picture, Johnny. Like, you literally froze right at...
Yeah, sorry. You were frozen.
Sorry you had to see that. My bad.
It's all good.
We're not.
Well,
maybe back in your guys' day, you would wear it, like, more around the waist. But, like, I mean, you can't really see it, but, I mean...
Oh, do nowadays, you have a crossbody?
I do the crossbody gimmick. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I feel like those
my fanny pack
perfect.
Is a nah, man. Nah, it's. I don't know. I think a lot more.
I like wearing them that way. That crossbody, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried it once or twice. It just, I don't know, something doesn't feel right.
You mean crossbody on the fanny pack?
Like a cross.
I've
your
seen
strap.
A lot of men doing that. We were at the Freehold Mall last week with my daughters and my wife, and I'm telling you, I must have saw 50 guys walking around with that. And I just was like. Listen, I'm not, this is just me at 52 years old, man. It looked like a purse to me. And I just don't get it. I'm not healing anybody. It's just not my thing. Like,
I mean, I get it. They're thinner than a purse would be, but that's the same kind of impression I get too.
It's
whatever.
I felt like when I wore the fanny pack, the traditional style, like, in, you know, the actual way you should be wearing it, people were looking at me funny for that. Like I felt like I was too young to be wearing it. Like that.
I was gonna say, because you almost look too young. If you go to Disney and stuff, you see dads like over 40, some of them like 50, wearing fanny packs. I don't think I've ever seen a dad like under 30 wear it. I've seen him wear that cross gimmick. It's big in Europe, like man bags and purses or whatever that men wear. I've seen that in Disney and stuff, and in Italy we went. Every guy, I'm telling you, every seven out of eight guys had that in Italy. I look like the weirdo without it. In Hawaii, when I was in Hawaii, I saw a couple people, not many. The fanny pack was big in Hawaii. Surfers and stuff. Coming in, they had it like on the beach with all their stuff. I saw that a lot.
It's less about fashion and more just about convenience to me, you know.
Yeah.
Like, instead of having to have, like, you know, your wallet in your back pocket, your phone in one, you know, your pens and pencils or whatever. It's right there in the fanny pack, you know, put your car keys in it.
Yep.
The workers in our day... kept more than their car keys in there, Donnie, right?
They still little containers with their little white friends in it. That's what they kept.
No. Like here's something that including myself, I'm guilty of. Here's what some of the boys like to wear as well. They try to
Those are over with me.
Yeah.
Get the Bret Harts, you know.
I was gonna say the Bret Harts.
Right.
Yeah.
The Pit Vipers. So what do you guys think of these?
Those are cool. I wish I could have rocked those. I never really did, even with my 80s look. I had different pairs of sunglasses, usually just dark ones, but I never really.
I feel like for me, because they were probably popular when I was like in elementary school. So like now that they're making a comeback, I'm like, I'm not a kid anymore. Like, that's just not my look.
If I'm going to wear sunglasses, I'm going to wear Lokes or something like that. So, you know, those are just a little bit too big frame for me, but not hating, just not my thing.
Right.
Working on
it. Looks cool, guys, on JP. Yeah.
I'm working on a deal. BSB is going to get a deal with these 2025, manifesting it right now.
That's BSB awesome.
He's going to get linked with Pit Viper.
That's awesome, dude. They look good on you guys. Yeah. That shirt's great.
You know, BSB is all about making fashion statements.
We're about making statements, period. Speaking of the shirts, you can get yours on the Psychopathic Vault right now. And they are officially sold out of 4X. So, I don't know. There must be a lot of 4XL BSB fans. But, you know, not hating. I think it's all love.
I think that's dope.
Either that or they're using it to, you know, as a tablecloth or something, maybe. Or
could be. Curtain. Yeah.
Curtain.
Could be. Could
but,
be.
Guys, real quick, before we get our guest Yaya on here to talk about Gremlin House, I want to real quick mention that we have a vendor guest coming called Nana's Organic Cotton Clouds on February 8th. And this is owned by Tone Love and his wife, Gia Love. He's a very special guest. He's going to be appearing at the table. He's literally a Philly hip hop legend from the Tough Crew. If you're from Philly, you've heard of these guys. They were huge. We're talking millions of views on YouTube just for the one video. So having him in the house is going to be wonderful. And, you know, God bless them. They had lost their daughter, Sanaya, who had special needs. And now they run Nana's Candy Clouds, which you can follow on Instagram. And they use all the proceeds to help families in the Delaware area that have special needs children and don't have the available resources they need to help. So I think it's literally one of the most beautiful things we could be a part of here. And I love that we're a part of it. And I love that
That's cool.
Yeah, man.
Phil, do you have kids?
No, I don't have any kids.
So I'm the only one with kids here. And I can just tell you, man, there's not a day that goes by, no matter what's going on in my life, where I just don't thank God that my two kids are completely healthy and doing great and all that, because I have a couple of friends who have lost children, and there's nothing in the world that would slit me in half than having a child with disability or a terminal illness. Or so I've seen what it does to a family. Very good friends of ours, their son passed at 10 from brain cancer, and have a child with special needs like that, and at least to get some kind of hope or something good to come out of it, man, I'm all for that. And whatever I can do to help with that, I will.
Hell yeah. Thank you, Donnie.
God bless, brother. Yeah.
You know, real quick, I don't want to change gears too fast after talking about that, because that was really beautiful. We could go for hours about this. But I do want to say real quick, Donnie, check this out. And I say Donnie because it's something we've never done in the backseat world before. Wear backseat silvers.
Oh, that's cool.
Silver pants on February 8th, and you get a free ticket to our April event. So
that's awesome. Like, who thought that's a great idea, man?
Well, you did. That was your idea, Donnie.
Oh, was it? All right, cool. Yeah.
These are the official Walmart silvers that you could get, you know, apparently at Walmart.
You know, not for nothing, by the way, maybe I'm nuts. I see indie footage here and there on the internet of this and that. I've been seeing more and more people wear silver outfits. Am I wrong?
Donnie, we're going to start a new thing on here, a new whatever we call them,
pants
segment.
And shirts. I've been seeing it, dude.
Silver police.
Yeah, my silver ear's police. Not to the ground as much as yours. I'm just telling you, as a layman who pops in occasionally and sees match footage here and there, I've been seeing it across the country. I'm like, oh, shit, that's their deal. But it's flattery. Yeah, what are you going to do?
Daily, no pun intended.
We're going to start silver police, you guys. I'll make the graphic for next week.
Oh, that's a good one.
We are. It should be the fashion police, but before
that's
we get
else's
into
gimmick.
Well, right. Yeah. So silver police. But before we get into the discussion about AI, because there is a lot to talk, I want to bring in our guest of the evening.
Yes,
I have a feeling that, you know, as a performer and, you know, as a creature of the night, he has a very interesting take on all things as it relates to, you know, intelligence of the artificial form. So everyone, without further ado, please let's welcome our guest of the evening, Mr. Yaya the Gremlin.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Introduce yourself to everyone out there.
What's up, y'all? I'm Yaya the Gremlin, rapper, wrestler, owner of Gremlin House Wrestling. Designer. Yeah, I just do a ton of stuff. pretty much, and Juggalo. Woo woo.
Yes, sir.
So talk about that real quick, because you know we just kicked it for the first time this past weekend. You had a dope show over in Gloucester City, New Jersey. You know, I want to hear about your story. You know, you were telling me some stories about, you know, the second ever gathering when you were, you know, I want to say a teenager. So, you know, just time is yours, please. Let's hear from you.
Yeah, pretty much I was telling you, trying to tell you how long I've been down, man. And I started doing rap music when I was about 9 years old, and my first album came out around 11 years old. And the first time to perform was at the second gathering of the Juggalos. My two older brothers, he's 8 years older, the other one's 6 years older. They were kind of my influence on that. But, man, I was around since the very beginning of the gathering, when it was still indoors and they had Juggalo Central and all that good stuff, you know. Baby Oil Wrestling, I'm sure they still have that. But
the good old days.
The good old days where we would take over the whole town instead of, you know, the forest. And
yeah,
it was crazy back then. The cops would constantly be spraying us and you know, tear gassing us and my bad.
I was gonna say a lot of it made the news and stuff, but I mean, you were there firsthand, so you know, like what was it like, you know, being that young at the gathering and you know, just being in type of crowds, you know, at such an early age?
It was definitely an experience that, I mean, I shouldn't have been allowed to be honest. But I was also adolescent. So I was crazy as shit. Like I was really crazy at 11, 12, 13, 14. So I remember, for instance, getting there and we're waiting in line to go in the first day and there's a cop on a horse. So we hit him with a 2-liter Fego, you know, we hit him with a, so he started just arresting everybody. He arrested like some worker across the street that was wearing an ICP shirt. He started just arresting everybody. For instance, a girl showed her boobs, you know, we surrounded the area, made sure she didn't get arrested. But then some of us got arrested. It was different back then, man. They used to arrest us back then. Just putting it out there.
Yeah. You were blocking downfield for the boobies, man. That's good work. Gotta be done, bro.
You weren't allowed to show boobs, you know, because it was in like a convention center. So they were like accosting Juggalettes for showing boobs.
Wow.
Yeah.
The Juggalos show a lot more.
That was the family, you know, that was family era. So it was, you know, I feel like Juggalos would drink a lot back then and sing karaoke. Right. It wasn't hippied out yet because we didn't hit the forest. So we didn't all turn into hippies yet. We were just, you know, party animals.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah.
But it was dope. You
know, Yaya, one of the reasons that I wanted to have you on here is because Donnie B is one of my mentors, one of our mentors, and he's run wrestling federations and been a promoter since 94, 96, at least.
Yeah, probably 94.
NWA New Jersey, been around. And what did I say to you at your event, Yaya? I came up to you and said, dude, you are a good promoter. You work your butt off. You're hustling, you network amazingly, you had amazing graphics, everything came together tight. You ran the same building we just ran in July and had the same amount or more people. Dude, you did a great job. So I wanted Donnie to just sort of meet you and you guys to meet and just induct you into the solar system, brother. So great job.
Nice to meet you, Donnie, and I appreciate all the nice words, Cashmere. I really do, man. I get a little weird in this wrestling business because there's a lot of niceness, and I like, you know, I'm a little bit in my age now and I'm not used to it. I'm really not, you know, I'm training at the Monster Factory and they have this thing. They were like, who's having a bad day? And you raised your hand. They said, sit down in a seat. Everybody's going to tell you why you shouldn't have a bad day and what's so good about you. Bro, I had to walk out because as soon as they started opening up, I'm like, I've never seen this in my life. I've never seen the love and empathy that the wrestling business kind of has. So thank you for the nice words. Trust me, I'm definitely not used to that.
Here's some photos real quick from online. You guys, here's the T gimmick they did last Saturday night. Here's the chop heard around the world. Look at this. Look at the perfect picture. Donnie, look at this picture.
Man. Yeah, you guys are perfect chop there.
Yeah.
You guys are bullies, all right? I got one of my biggest guys.
Oh, no, not a bully.
They are.
You had the biggest guy on my team. I think one of you kicked him right in the balls. I don't know, but the receipts, true. The receipts were there.
It is true.
It's true. Yo, Yaya, show us your shirt, dude. Show us your shirt. I love your logo for your Fed. Dude, that's banging.
That is cool. That is fire. Dude,
first time I saw it, I thought it was like the Eagles, bro. Like, it's perfect for the area you're running your event in, dude. It speaks to the Philly area. It really does.
Yeah we're doing we have the next show in Avenel. We might go back that way towards Philly. We just got to kind of plan it out. Honestly, we want big venues. We seem to not be able to stay in one spot.
It's not a bad problem to have necessarily.
Yeah, we've had the same problem, brother. We get it. I think that's why we see you as such a kindred spirit. Seriously, like, I can already tell we've been through some of the same shiznit.
Yeah, no doubt, but, man. I was seeing you guys on TV and online is totally different than meeting you in person. You know, you guys have the story about you. Everybody thinks you guys are some tough guys, man. You know, very talented, very outspoken, tough guys who kind of earn the respect, you know. Even if you didn't get along with somebody, they still respect you guys. You know, type of thing over the years, because you've been around for as long as I can remember, you know?
Thanks, man. That's really nice. Thank you.
Yeah, you guys are veterans. It's real as hell.
Dude, we are, honored to have you at our show, to have Gremlin House represented at our pregame show, at the Hanks pregame show, which is going to be just phenomenal. As you can see, Tone Love is going to be there. DJ Khalil is going to be spinning. Pat Sullivan from Knucklemania will be there after his fight. So this is going to be really big. Check it out. You can follow Gremlin House at Gremlin House Wrestling on Instagram and at Yaya the Gremlin. And he's going to have some friends with him. He's going to have Tay Rock, the battle rap legend, will be at his table. Check him out at The Real Tay Rock, TAYROC. This guy had a killer showing Saturday night, jumped over the top rope to the outside to get eliminated from the Battle Royal. And of course, Velcro
squad.
At I Am Velcro. This guy is a rap rock star, owns his own label. Just a beautiful human being. I had a chance to speak with him, and he dove off the top rope to the outside. So you got a lot of good people coming with you, Yaya. I just talked to both of them yesterday, and they're excited as hell to be there and meet the fans in Chester and spread the word about Gremlin House, bro.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. Velcro's been my firm for a long time, very tied in with everything Philly. I know that the legendary Quilly was like one of the first people to comment on his post from the show, you know, New Jack City Slam. He was like, why didn't you tell me to pull up, you know? So stuff like that. I know Velcro's in the French Montana video. He's tied to everybody in Philadelphia, so it's an honor to have him around.
Donnie, you had a question for
you. Yeah.
Who came up with the name for the New Jack City Slam?
Me.
That's awesome, bro. I in the late 90s, I was actually the booker for a promotion called New Jack City Wrestling. It was based out of Jersey. It was run by a guy named Mr. Lucifer, and it was from – we took the name from the movie, but it was all ECW and hardcore guys and good indie talent. And it kind of was the precursor to a lot of stuff, like Ring of Honor and other stuff. We were way before them, but that was the name of the promotion, New Jack City Wrestling. So when I saw that, I said to Johnny, I've never seen anyone else use the name since the 98, 97. I was like, that is so cool, man. Whoever thought of that, tell them cool. I think that's cool.
Definitely had like a background to it. I was friends with New Jack. He was going to be in my music video, and we had it all worked out. I was going to fly him out and right, like 2 weeks before we did it, he passed away. We were gonna do it.
Yeah, that's a shame. I liked New Jack. I knew New Jack. My brother knew him better than me. But every time I was around New Jack, he was cool. Like, you know, I never judge anybody except how they deal with me. As a promoter, learn that number one, Yaya, that none of the boys are truly your friend. They're just looking for another payday. They're cool and they're friendly, but realize that here's the thing you gotta learn as a promoter. You're trying to get the most out of every single talent with paying them as little as possible, but fairly. And the boys are trying to get as much as they can out of you with doing as little work as possible. That's the hard reality. That's the truth. People don't want to hear it. None of the boys are truly. Ask yourself if you never ran a wrestling show tomorrow, how many of the people that you booked would actually give you a call? Not many. It's true. And that's fine.
I'm going to say I almost died 2 years ago. And spite of, you know, besides my parents who heard I'm hurting in the hospital, pulled up, nobody else. Nobody else. And
that's the truth. Listen, the wrestling business can be fun. You can have a lot of friends in it and friendly people. But at the end of the day, if you can get out of the business with on one hand five true friends, bro, when you're done, that'll be a lot. One of them that I have is right here in the upper left corner, Johnny. But just you can have fun with it. I'm not trying to discourage you. Mm-hmm. Just be a good promoter. There's three rules of promoting that I always followed. Number one, nobody gets hurt doing something stupid that could have been prevented. That's the first rule. Second rule is you have to be invited back to the venue. Even if you don't want to go back, you have to be invited back. That means you don't lose the building. You don't break, you know, do anything retarded or dumb. Or number three, the show should make money, even if it's $1. I don't care. Yeah. I don't understand these guys that run an event and go, oh, it was great. I only lost $5,000. Like, what? But if you stick to those three rules, nothing stupid, make a dollar, and be invited back, you'll be surprised how easy the rest of it is, man. Any questions, lean on Johnny. Johnny's learned from me, and I learned from Jim Cornette and others. So Johnny has all my knowledge.
And fun fact about New Jack, when he passed, I hit up somebody else, and I said, hey, New Jack was supposed to be in my video. He's gone. I don't want to miss my chance with you. And lucky enough, the Godfather flew out, you know, Papa Shango.
Yep.
And I got a music video that we did together. I didn't drop it yet because it's got nudity and I'm trying to like blur it all out. But he kind of passed that pimp cane for, you know what I mean? He passed the pimp cane and,
yeah, man,
you know, let me use his hoe train in the ring. And
wow.
So there was a little bit of bliss at the end of that. And he had a lot of respect for New Jack. He didn't ask me for anything. So
that's cool.
That's awesome.
It was a blast. Wow. Just throwing that out there. You know, that's why cool, we did New Jack City Slam. I wanted to do a tribute to him. Uh-huh. I got a lot of fight back for that. You know, a lot of people didn't like New Jack as a person, which we all know, you know, he was an asshole in ways, right? But
yeah.
He helped train Trent. You know, we used him in BW. We never had a problem with him ever. He was fine.
I was just going to say that, yeah, you know, Trent is on record saying New Jack taught him how to arm drag and whatnot. So it's, you know, and if you go back and watch anytime, you know, Jack was in the ring with the backseats, they always took care of each other, you know.
Didn't know that New Jack could work. Yeah,
you guys got history. I forget that.
Yeah, New Jack could work. A lot of people had no, they were like, New Jack can't work. New Jack could work. He could chain wrestle. He could bump. He knew what he was doing.
The one and only time my brother and I were ever on a show with New Jack was actually the first time we worked for O-Dog, for Darren. It was at his previous venue in Philly. And New Jack was the main event. And real talk, I went over, just said, how are you doing, sir? Shook his hand. And I'll never forget. He made direct eye contact with me, gave me the firmest handshake and was like, hey, man. And that was it. And proceeded to just watch him do his thing. I got to hear Natural Born Killers live, and you know, that was cool. I was a big New Jack fan growing up, and I always had respect for him, but I understand what you said, that, you know, meeting somebody in person is different than watching them on the internet or watching them on TV. So that's all. I appreciate the fact that he was good to Nova and Donnie and yourself. Like that I appreciate more than anything.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, he was
Tom's River Nova?
Yeah,
yes, sir.
Of course.
Donnie's identical twin brother is Nova. Yeah, for real.
Yeah,
they're identical twins. Isn't that kind of cool?
Yeah, I was there for his retirement match.
Tom's you were? I thought you were at the show. I didn't know you were there.
What?
I was the dude with the cotton candy fur coat. I did. I was working with Kevin Kelly.
Oh no, my God! No, I didn't know that. I remember you.
Yeah, that was my event. My first thing I did in wrestling.
Yep, that was my event.
What?
Okay, so now you can officially say you were broken in. Now he's broken in by
Wait, hold on. Yaya, that's the night I came back to the business.
Yeah?
That's the night I met the new backseats. And you were in the building with all of us, too?
Yeah, I was supposed to do commentary, but I don't know. You know, I was new to the business. I was
Donnie unbooked you. Yeah. Well, you know what it was. You,
I don't know me. That was
no, Donnie. You know what it is. I think he was on the pre-show and he ate the catering. So you told him he's not allowed to.
Oh, the catering. I walked away to smoke, and by the time I came back, it was just, you know, I sat in the crowd and just did the rest of the day like that. But
no,
I went there under Chad Mines. Shout out Chad Mines.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that I work for him all the time. He's really been putting me where I need to be in this game.
Hell yeah.
Just like, look, I'll see you guys next Sunday, you know, for Hammerstein Ballroom.
Yes, this Sunday. Right. You're going to be up there.
I'll be up there, man. I'm going with Chad, so.
Hell yeah.
Help awesome. Set up the ring. You know, I know you guys are going to be up there. And, you know, I know Violent J is coming through. I know they got a whole bunch of people that –
They worked. Added Baron Corbin. Did you see that? Baron Corbin
just
versus
added Baron Corbin.
Yeah. Versus yep. Barnett. Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't even notice
that's,
that.
So that's
damn.
The mystery. All right. That's the mystery opponent for a Bloodsport match.
I didn't recognize his name, though, what they're calling him. Did you know that? Do you recognize mm-hmm. it?
I didn't know.
His real name is Peacock or Petcock, isn't it?
Petsock. Yeah. Petsock. That's what mm-hmm. it is. Yeah. Something Petsock. Yeah. Yeah. And Amazing Red's going to be there, too, on Sunday. So, yeah, we're going to go. Oh, it's going to be fun. Yeah.
Yeah, legendary cool. venue.
Yes, yeah. sir.
No, legendary lineup. It Hell doesn't yeah. get any better, man. I'll be over there whoop whooping.
Whoop whoop.
Oh, yeah.
You know, holding it down for the family.
That's all Dude, you got to do, man.
Can't thank you enough for stopping by, man, for real. And like I said, check us out. We're going to be here at the meet and greet with the Gremlin House table is going to be there. You never know what's going to happen. And, you know, I talked to you know, Tay and I talked to Velcro and they both want to perform somehow. So I don't know if they're going to wrap anyone to the ring or not. We don't know yet, but there's still plenty of weeks to go. We still mm-hmm. have a Tasha's open challenge still has to be accepted. So there's still a lot more that we haven't even announced yet coming into this event. So we're real happy to have you there. Yaya.
Blessings. What, one or two things. Let me just shout out my yeah. BG Wayne. I know you guys met BG at the show. Yep. He's very attached to the Samoans. You know, Hoka tag teamed with him. The Hoka, the one and only, you know, half Samoan, half Tongan in that whole family tree. He's the only one. So, you know, that's possible, you know, tribal chief type shit. But I just wanted to make sure I give the credit to BG Wayne and Jay Foley, the nephew of Mick Foley, who really put in this weekend. And you guys, of course, bringing those Juggalo championships through, kicking some ass, you know. You put it on my guys. So next time I'm gonna have to throw something at you to try to hinder that just a little bit, unless we work something out. You know, we could work something out between maybe we're the squad, bro.
Good man.
Yeah,
it's like Donnie
it's got
said.
Four members, dog. It's got four members.
Yeah. I think we are the squad. I think we are the squad. We could do it.
Yeah. Look at that.
Hell yeah.
Be ready, dog.
I like yes. it.
Shit.
I like it. Shit.
But blessings for having me, guys. I love you guys.
Seriously, love man. You, thank you for coming.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so
Don't
much.
Don't be a stranger.
Yeah.
Nah, I will. Yeah. I'll see you soon. And everybody watching this, go to Harris. We're going to make it something special, man. You know, family's in the building. If you whoop, whoop, be there. As simple as
yes.
that.
Yes, simple. Nice. Be there.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah,
thank
yeah.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Whoop.
Hell yeah. That was awesome, man. I love
you. Nice, what a nice gentleman.
I love when people come by the house. When we invite people over, we make it nice and neat.
And then we realize that they were family members all along, that they were there since
man,
day
it,
one.
Like, what are the odds that like he was at Contest of Champions? Like, that is insane.
Right.
Now he's a direct descendant of the school of the Bucci's, just like we all.
Yeah.
I was about to say that.
So
that's weird.
He's a nice fellow. Yeah.
He is. So
Johnny can be his Lestat. Yeah.
Well, now it's time for the main event, which I know we were trying to talk about earlier, but
wait, before you talk about it, we announced a match this week that we didn't talk about.
Yeah.
The big match feel. Donnie, you see this?
Wow.
Donnie, I'm getting in between the back seats and starting to pit them against each other. We're splitting them up as singles. Hey, no, it's time. They've never done a singles match in SPO. I think it's time.
Yeah. No, that's cool. Not wrong with that.
I think this is exactly what we need. Again, this is a change. This is a test for the both of us, seeing what we can do as, you know, individuals, but still represent the Backseat Boys brand and the name and keep that name alive And again, I'm looking forward to this match. I've been training my ass off ever since, you know, it was announced. I'm in the ring every single week. I'm in the gym every single day. And Griffin McCoy might be a top guy, but you don't know what's coming your way when you get in the ring with me.
There you go.
That's right.
Good stuff, man. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Make sure you follow us at Spo Wrestling on all major social media platforms. Thomas, I will shut my mouth now.
Thank you, Jonathan. So last week, a certain wrestler, I'm not going to name them because quite honestly, I'm all for some discourse and market research, so to say, in the wrestling community. A wrestler out there expressed public disdain at the fact that promotions in Florida were using AI-generated entrance music. I myself and my brother currently bump the hell out of an AI wrestling theme, so I, of course, went to bat for AI. Now, here's the thing before I ask this question. What I'm referring to is not AI as, or I'm not referring to AI as a whole in concept. I'm referring to the principle of using artificial intelligence as a tool. Okay? Just so that no one misconstrues what I'm saying. There is nothing wrong with using AI for music because it does not replace actual musicians or take a job away from actual musicians. If it is actually being done the right way, and if it is actually being done for reasons other than just creating stuff just to create it. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, if a musician or an actual engineer produces music, is it not as valid as, say, for record producers writing one song for Beyonce?
Yeah,
that makes sense.
You know, it's like the same thing as, let's say, musicians using auto-tune or using enhancements for their vocals or their sounds. You know what I mean? Are you going to take anything away from now musicians or artists that do things to change the way they sound or with their voice? You know what I mean? So again, we can go tit for tat with a whole bunch of these, you know, again, this is just advancement in technology. This is, you know, we got to go with the times and the changes in the industry with anything.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So oh, go ahead.
No, Phil, I want to ask Phil, Johnny, and Donnie what your guys' opinion is.
So this is where I'm on the weird fence, because I agree, as a content tool, you know, the things that we use to help edit, when an artist does use it to auto-tune, it's still the artist doing it. So I am a little bit, honestly, on the fence, because I do feel there is an element of, it does take away from the people who make music. I 2 years ago, I got custom music made for me from an artist. I paid somebody who I was very happy to pay somebody to make music. That's outside of my skill set. I don't have that ability to do. Right. And so I hear and I understand the counter argument of, isn't it taking money directly away from an artist that you could pay? And I understand that. And I also, but I also hear your voice, because we're in wrestling, how much money is being made for real? And so where are those opportunities? You know, hey, let's put forward what is a good product. Let's make it sound good, look good, appeal good to a lot of people, and make it useful on the lower end of the budget. And I understand that too, because you have to balance that scale a little bit.
Now what you had said, that you paid money for an actual artist to do that. If an actual artist is using AI, is that not the same thing? Is it, if it is an actual tool?
If it's used as a tool, you're auto-tuning, you're using, I mean, look at it this way. I will say there's also an overstretch of what people call AI, because technically, like, any video editor, any audio edit program that we use now is what is really being, is sort of like what's being pitched as AI. Because we're not sitting there, like, cutting tape and stitching tape together like I did, right. I think, when I was in, like, middle school. Like, those days are done. So, you know, digital assets using is just another tool. But full own creation, you know, hey, make a song that sounds like this with this kind of beat. Here's maybe some words or lyrics to plug into the song, is full auto content creation. And in my other life where I work now, I also have to abide by certain rules that, like, I can't use it for that level of content creation, because that is taking away directly from people and talent. And that's a hard policy at my workplace right now, because they're like, well, you know, using a tool is one thing, fully doing something also. Well, and there's also other thing about like using things that might be fake, you know, like a fake video, a fake photo that's replacing what the actual image is. There's some concerns there too, but I know mm-hmm. we're not really going there. We're talking about the tool. The tool of it, I don't think is bad. Doing it as a mm-hmm. full content removal, I have some, I am challenged with.
Interesting. Johnny?
I think it's getting to the point where, like, it's never been okay to use copyrighted music, but they just had no way to police it. And now with algorithms and the internet and all these, mm-hmm. you know, the computing power we have, I think in our lifetime, it's going to get to the point where we just can't put out anything with copyrighted music. Canva yeah. is already tying my hands unbelievably in the last mm-hmm. 3 weeks that it didn't do before. So something's going on. The algorithms are getting better, so to speak. Biggest heel in mm-hmm. wrestling, the algorithm, by the way.
It's true. I mean, it's not to true. Donnie, do you have any takes or opinions? I mean, as somebody who has ran events or, you know, just event promoting or licensing or
if
paying
you
good
use
money.
AI in any way, shape or form to make the promoting process a little smoother, it can somehow sell tickets or help you with some kind of online presence, like auto-generated ads going out. I don't know. Cool. I don't know enough about it to really offer too much of an opinion. But here's the thing. No matter what any of us think, it's here. And it ain't going right. anywhere. So you just got to
right.
live with it. That's the right. thing, man.
Right. I'm going to finish this by saying this point. AI as a concept. Think about it. Batman had it. You know what I'm saying? The Power Rangers had it. Any form of non-human additive in your favorite franchise is a form of artificial intelligence. So now that we finally have it here, isn't it cool that we have it? And let's stop hating on principle alone, because there's a lot of gatekeeping people in music and wrestling that yeah. have it misconstrued, that think that just because it's concept alone is, oh, it's taking money out of a musician. No. If there's an actual musician writing actual lyrics, programming an actual song that happens to use artificial intelligence, that is not taking money out of anyone's pocket. If anything, it's helping a brand grow, because those promotions won't be hit with cease and desist and flags because everyone wants to come out to Disturbed like it's 2004. And yes, it happens. So don't sit here and say that you still have guys out there in their sweatbands and their track suits coming out to Down with the Sickness. And, you know, but I digress.
Wow, brother caught a promo. Man. What a way to end the show. Let's end it on that.
Let's end it on that pipe bomb.
Next Monday, Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah. Next Monday, Martin Luther King Day. Maybe we'll have some sort of special, and hopefully we will know next Monday who is accepting Tasha Steele's open challenge. We have so much coming up over the next week. Show. Stay tuned. A lot of announcements this week coming out, so make sure you keep checking social media for Spo Wrestling. .com. Anything else, guys, before we get out of here?
Two scoops of whoop for y'all.
I agree with that. Two scoops.
Two scoops of whoop.
Whoop, whoop.
Phil, how many scoops of whoop